morning, ladies and gentlemen, we'll begin, and I think one of the minyanim are finishing, so if those come in during the shiur, we will be happy to accommodate them, but we want to get started. I want to take this opportunity to thank not only all of you for coming, but to thank our sponsors. We thank, of course, Yeshiva Rambam, and we recognize the presence of Dr. Schlush, Suburban Orthodox, for hosting this year. We are sorry that Rabbi Silver couldn't be here. He's giving his own shiur at the moment. Shomri Moon, of course, and Shari Zion. And we thank Yeshiva University, and specifically the Legacy Heritage Fund, who generously enabled Rabbi Sachs to spend Shabbos with us in the community, as well as to give this shiur now on Sunday morning. I want to mention as well, for those who may be interested, Rabbi Sachs has recently published his third Sefer, which is timely enough because it's actually about the first part of Maseches Pesachim, a lot of Pesach topics, and he's hoping to soon finish and publish a volume on the second half of Maseches Pesachim, related to the end of the Masechta and the issues of the Haggadah. And Rabbi Sachs will be leaving both with me this morning, as well as after he leaves to go back to New York, copies not only of his most recent Sefer, but also of his previous two Sfarim. One is on Inyanei Shabbos, and the other is one on Inyanei Kriyashma. If anyone would like to purchase those Sfarim, which I have them all and I can highly recommend them, certainly be in touch with me, and I'll be happy to make that arrangement for you. For this morning's final shiur of Rabbi Sachs' weekend, we are happy to introduce him on the topic of Mismach Geula L'Geula, which is a well-known phrase which connects some the combined perspectives of Purim, which of course we are coming close to, and Pesach, which is also around the corner, frightening enough as it is for both the women of the house and the rabbi. Those of you who had the fortune of hearing Rabbi Sachs of Shabbos know that he needs no introduction. He's a masterful, masterful teacher, and we look forward very much to this final presentation. Kavod gadol.
Thank you, Rabbi Gottlieb, for your words of introduction, and especially for a very beautiful Shabbos that we spent together. You have a wonderful kehila, and it really is a pleasure to be able to come and join you. This morning's shiur is on the topic of Mismach Geula Geula, the link between Purim and Pesach. And let me begin by way of introduction with the importance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is highlighted by the Ramban in Parshas Bo. The Ramban comments that, you know, that of all of the events in our history, Yetzias Mitzrayim no doubt occupies a primary role. In the very beginning of Aseres Adibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha, our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not merely as Hashem is the creator, but rather as the one who took us out of Eretz Mitzrayim. And in fact, the Ramban writes that if you look simply at Briyas HaOlam, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a borei, a creator. But how in fact do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a manhig, one who rules and impacts on the world each and every day? As we always recite in our davening, HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid, Masa Breishis, recreation. And that, the Ramban writes, we always point to the events of Yetzias Mitzrayim. In so many mitzvahs, whether it's the mitzvah of Tefillin, or certainly obligations of Pesach, revolve around the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us as part of our principles of faith, Ikari Emuna. Each and every day, as you know, there is a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. A Mishnah in Brachos we recite in the Haggadah, the Pasuk of Laman Tizkor, Es Yom Seischa Meretz Mitzrayim Kol Yemei Chayecha. Each day, we're obligated to articulate the fact that Hashem redeemed us. And as you know, we assume as the view of Ben Zoma that this mitzvah applies twice daily. Yemei Chayecha means each day. Kol Yemei Chayecha refers to the night as well. And therefore, a twofold obligation. Twice a day, each and every day, acknowledging the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. We would have expected that the Rambam would count this in Sefer HaMitzvos as one of the 613 mitzvos. And yet, this is a clear absence, the omission apparently of the Rambam, of this mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is it that if this is a daily obligation, that the Rambam does not mention this at all as one of the Taryag mitzvos? The Rosh Hashanah, for example, suggests that according to the view of the Rambam, this is not a mitzvah min HaTorah, but Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is only midrabanan, it's a rabbinic obligation. And therefore, the pasuk that we cite in the Mishnah, that we render in the Haggadah, is not referring to this mitzvah overtly. After all, l'ma'an tizkor does not sound like an absolute tzivui, a commandment. L'ma'an tizkor, in order to remember, sounds as though it's an asinas tam, its reason for all the obligations of Pesach itself. And therefore, perhaps one possibility, according to the Rambam, is that Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim is not at all a mitzvah. This is the view of Dor Sameach. Rav Soloveitchik quoted B'Shem Rav Chaim Brisker two other possibilities why it is that the Rambam does not mention Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim explicitly. One is the following. The Rambam writes in Sefer HaMitzvos in Shoresh Gimel that he will only count mitzvos that are nohagos ledoros, that which is enduring, a mitzvah in principle is perpetual. There are many commandments that we find in the Torah that al pidin are called a horasha. It's limited in its time, in its scope. There were various activities Bnei Yisrael were obligated to engage in when they left Mitzrayim. Placing the dam, for example, on the mezuzos, on the mashko. Certainly that is not an enduring mitzvah from one generation to another. It is only a horasha. And therefore the Rambam writes, I'm only going to count those mitzvos that in principle are everlasting, not something which is somehow temporary in the scope of time. And perhaps this is even true according to the Rambam's view regarding Yetzias Mitzrayim in the following sense. That pasuk, L'man tizkar, Tzim Tzeyscha Meretz Mitzrayim, Kol Yemei Chayecha. Two possibilities. Yemei Chayecha is a reference to the days. Kol Yemei Chayecha Ben Zomer writes, referring to night. What is the shita of the Chachamim? Yemei Chayecha is Olam Hazeh. Kol Yemei Chayecha, Lahavim Yemos HaMashiach. To tell us that this mitzvah will apply even Yemos HaMashiach as well. Why is it that Ben Zoma does not use the pasuk to teach us that? I would have said that perhaps a pasuk is not even necessary. Is it necessary to have a pasuk to tell us that mitzvos are enduring? The Rambam writes that one of our Ikar Yemuna, principle of faith, is that mitzvos that apply now are perpetual, they will apply then, even Yemos HaMashiach as well. And maybe one could have argued that it's obvious that this mitzvah will provide even in subsequent generations and even throughout history. But the Gemara tells us differently. The Gemara writes in the very end of the first parak of Brachos that no, that la'asid lava, we will not mention Yitzias Mitzrayim at all. The Gemara quotes the pasuk of Yirmiyahu, Hine yamim ba'im num Hashem, lo yomar od, chai Hashem asher heles beis Yisrael, me eretz Mitzrayim. When we experience the ultimate geula, we will not praise Hashem for what happened thousands of years ago, the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but rather, we will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the current experience of that geula. If that is true, perhaps one could argue as follows, that the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim apply then, it applies now, but it is capped. It has somewhat of a limitation. That la'asid lava, we are not going to mention Yetzias Mitzrayim at all, and perhaps that is one reason that the Rambam does not count this among Taryag Mitzvos. Because the Rambam writes, I will only count those Mitzvos that are absolutely perpetual, those that are fully enduring, and this would not apply to Yetzias Mitzrayim itself. This is one possibility within the view of the Rambam Shita. And then Rav Chaim Brisker explained a very different possibility. We fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim at the tail end of Kriya Shema, the very third parsha of the Kriya Shema. That's where we acknowledge that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. Why is it that we couple these mitzvahs together? The mitzvah of Shema together with the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. Perhaps one could argue as follows, that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not an independent mitzvah, and therefore it is not counted separately at all, but rather it is part of the obligation of Kriya Shema itself. The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Somalchus Shamayim. We affirm that Hashem is the Melech, and that affirmation entails Yetzias Mitzrayim as well. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzeisicha. And perhaps the reason the Rambam does not count this independently is not because it is only a mitzvah drabanan. Certainly it's a Torah obligation, but part of the mitzvah of Kriya Shema itself. Where do you see that this is true? That Kriya Shema and Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim go hand in hand. It's certainly clear intuitively in the sense that we fulfill them together, Kriya Shema followed by Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The Pasuk of Anochi Hashem Lokecha Asher Hotzeisicha links Yichud Hashem with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. But where do you see Lahalocha that that is true as well? The Gemara debates in Brachos and Daf Chof Aleph, even beginning with Kriya Shema. Is Kriya Shema a mitzvah in HaTorah, or is Kriya Shema only Derabanan? We always obviously assume Kriya Shema, a din daraisa, a Torah obligation. But yet this is not so simple at all. The Gemara in Brachos Daf Chof Aleph quotes the view of Shmuel that Kriya Shema is only Derabanan. The Gemara comments, how can that be? After all, doesn't the Torah say, "Uveshochbucha uvkumecha"? The Gemara answers, "Hahu b'divrei Torah hu dichziv." That is not necessarily referring to the parsha of Kriya Shema, but rather v'dibartabam. You should speak the words of Torah itself. And therefore, Shmuel comments, "The mitzvah of Kriya Shema is only drabanan." Hahu b'divrei Torah hu dichziv. That is the reference min haTorah. Rabbi Yonin in Brachos Daf Yudbeis Amadeis writes a beautiful statement as follows. What does that mean? According to the view of Shmuel, there is no such obligation of rendering any parsha at all? Certainly not. Everyone agrees, Rabbi Yonah writes, that there's a Torah obligation of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. We have to affirm each day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech and the authenticity of the Torah Sashem. How do we do this? How is it that we affirm Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim? We assume the halacha by reading the parsha of Kriya Shema. Shmuel states the following. It doesn't necessarily have to be the parsha of Kriya Shema. Any parsha that one will read each and every day, that is an affirmation of our Emuna Bashem. That is called Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. You don't require the parsha of Kriya Shema. When a person will read any parsha of the Torah, but one's mindset is to do so reverentially, to realize that this is the Torah Hashem, and we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every act of Limud HaTorah is considered to be part of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. And therefore, it's not that Shmuel denies that there is a mitzvah at all. Everyone agrees that there is a mitzvah of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. It is fulfilled by reciting part of the Torah. According to the Chachamim, it must be Shema. According to the view of Shmuel, it's a reference to any parsha of the Torah itself. As mentioned, we assume halacha that Kriya Shema is daraisa. Each night, each day, a person is obligated to read the Shema itself, and that is a mitzvah min haTorah. What's unclear from the Gemara is the following. How much of Kriya Shema is min haTorah? How much is only part of the mitzvah derabanan? When the Torah mandates we have to recite the Shema each and every day, how much of Kriya Shema is necessary? A pasuk? A parsha, two parshios, three parshios, how much in fact is needed? And here you find four different views in the Rishonim. One possibility is the following. When we speak about the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, all that is necessary is the first pasuk of the Kriya Shema itself. This is what the Ramban writes, for example, Rosh Hashanah Dav Zayin in Daf Beharif, the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael Hashem Lokeinu Hashem Echad, that is the mitzvah in HaTorah of Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. And the Ramban argues, when you look throughout the Gemara, it seems that added intent, necessary kavana, must be present when you recite the first pasuk of the Shema. What is so unique about Pasuk Rishon? The Ramban answers, that is the mitzvah in HaTorah of Kriya Shema. And everything else is only drabana. So that is the view of the Ramban and the Mochamos. That is the view of the Rashman, Brachos, and Daf Yutes as well. Kriya Shema, Pasuk Rishon. Everything else is only Drabanan. The Rashba writes that Rashi Shita is that the entire first paragraph, the first parsha of the Shema, Shema coupled with the Ahavta, that is the mitzvah min haTorah of Kriya Shema. In fact, in the very opening Daf and Shas, the Mishnah tells us that you can only recite Kriya Shema after Tseisa Kochavim. And Rashi is bothered by the obvious difficulty, the practice even in their time, is that sometimes we daven Maariv early. In which case, how are you fulfilling the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Rashi answers, Kriya Shema Alamita. before you go to sleep, you'll recite the Shema. With that, you will fulfill the mitzvah min HaTorah of Kriya Shema. The Rashba points out that you're not going to recite Kriya Shema in its entirety. All you're going to recite is the first parsha of Shema coupled with Ve'ahavta. And therefore, the Rashba writes, according to Rashi Shita, that is the mitzvah min HaTorah. The Ramban writes the first pasuk, and Rashi Shita is the first parsha. The Prichadash writes in Shachrach and Simin Samach Zayin, the Tosus goes a step further. Tosus argues that both parshios are min HaTorah. The first parsha, the second parsha, after all, even in the second parsha of Kriya Shema, V'hayim Shama, we also mention, Uveshachvacha Uvkumecha. And therefore, that posits part of the mitzvah d'oraisa of Kriya Shema, of reciting both parshios. So that is the view of Tosus. Kriya Shema min HaTorah is not only the first pasuk, not merely the first parsha, but rather the first two paragraphs of the Shema are necessary in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema itself. In fact, the Pri Chadash offers the following proof to the view of Tosus. The Mishnah writes in Brachos and Daf Yud Gimel the following. Lama kadma shma levahaya im shema. Why is it that the parsha of Ve'ahavta is first and Vahaya im shema is second? The Mishnah answers, because the first is Kabbalah Samalchus Shemayim. There we acknowledge Hashem as the Melech. The second is Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvos. And therefore it makes sense that the sequence should be HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, and then the Melech commands us, and therefore we affirm our obligation in Mitzvos themselves. Pichonish is bothered by the following. If you were to assume as Rashi Shita that the first Parsha is Min HaTorah and the second is only Derabanan, isn't there an obvious answer to that question? Why is it that we read Ve'ahavta first and Vayim Shemoa second? Isn't the obvious answer the first is Min HaTorah, the second is Min Drabanan, and therefore whenever a person is performing a mitzvah, first things first, Daraisa, followed by Drabanan. So why is the Mishnah bothered? Why is Ve'ahavta first? Why does it take precedence over Vayim Shemoa? And why does the answer have to be because thematically we understand that sequence, isn't the obvious answer Daraisa versus Drabanan? That's the comment of the Pri Chadash. And therefore the Pri Chadash writes, it must be, whatever is true of the first is also true of the second. Both, he maintains, are Min HaTorah. If they're both obligations Min HaTorah, that is what the Mishnah asks. Why is it Ve'ahavta precedes the Parsha of Vahaya Im Shamoa? The Shagas Aryan Simon Beis questions this proof. Is it really so obvious that when you have two different mitzvahs, one which is Min HaTorah, one which is Derabanan, or two elements of the same mitzvah, Min HaTorah, Derabanan, that first you have to fulfill the mitzvah Min HaTorah, and then afterwards you fulfill the mitzvah Derabanan? That's the assumption of the Pri Chadash. Sounds very reasonable. First Daraisa, then Drabanan. But is that necessarily the case? The Shagas Aryeh writes in Simon Beis, and later in Simon Chaf Beis as well, that there is no such halacha. There is no precedence which is given to a mitzvah Daraisa over a mitzvah Drabanan in terms of its order, in terms of its sequence. And the Shagas Aryeh brings an interesting proof from a Mishnah later, and Brachos and Daf Nun Aleph, regarding Kiddush. Kiddush, no doubt, is a mitzvah min HaTorah. The Gemara tells us in Brachos and Daf Chof, in Shavuos and Daf Chof, the pasuk of Zocher Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. We're obligated to remember the day of Shabbos. Remembrance does not simply mean awareness. This is what the Sifra writes in Parshas B'Chukosa. When the Torah tells us to remember, it means you're obligated to mark that remembrance in a concrete way. This coming Shabbos, Parsha Zachar, the Torah tells us, Zachar, Eis Asher Asolecha Amalek. The Medrash writes, the Sifra, Yachol Belibcha. Maybe you would think that you simply have to be aware, that's all that is necessary. That cannot be. Hare Ne'emar Lo Sishka. Doesn't the Parsha end? You cannot forget. Hare Shicha Salev Amura. Amani Mekayim Zachar Shetei Shon Nebeficha. Zachar, remembrance, always requires some concrete expression. And therefore, you don't fulfill the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMalek by merely remembering, but rather you have to mark that remembrance. How you do so is somewhat unclear. We are stringent as the view of Tosfos. Tosfos writes in Brachos Yebeis, Megillah Daf Yud Zayin, that you have to have a kriya mitoch haktav. You have to lane Parsha Zachar. And therefore, Tafresh Behei, the Mechaber writes, we're machmer to treat the Kriya Parsha Zachar as a mitzvah min HaTorah. Because Zechira does not just simply mean remembrance or awareness, but rather you have to manifest that in a very tangible and concrete way. The same is true when it comes to Shabbos. Maybe Zachar Sima Shabbos Lakacho simply means be aware that it's Shabbos. So that very same Medrash, the Sifra writes, obviously you must know that it's Shabbos. You're not allowed to engage in malacha. Certainly you have to know that today is Shabbos. Hamani mekayim zachar to sheshona b'picha. That remembrance has to be expressed, and that, the Gemara tells us, is the mitzvah of Kiddush. So Kiddush, no doubt, is a mitzvah min HaTorah. However, the Rishonim debate as follows. How much of Kiddush is necessary min HaTorah? And we assume the halacha, as the Rambam writes in Perachav Tesef of Shabbos, this is what we assume in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Ayin Aleph, that midaraisa, all that is necessary is Kiddush bidvarim, mention of Shabbos itself. The fact that we do so on a kol shobrach and a cup of wine, that is only a din Drabanan. The Gemara in Erev and Daf Mem, Hamavarech Tzarech Sheitom, you have to drink the wine, that is only rabbinic as well. One fulfills the mitzvah min HaTorah of Kiddush simply by acknowledging, by stating the Kiddush HaSayom of Shabbos. So therefore, we assume the halacha. Kiddush Bidvarim, min HaTorah. Kiddush on Hayayin is only Drabanan. The Gemara is bothered. Brachos and Daf Nun Aleph as follows. The sequence of the brachos of Kiddush. How is it that we begin, according to Beis Hillel, Lore Priya Gofen, followed by the second bracha of Kedusha Sayom? We mention Shabbos. And Beis Shammai disagrees. Beis Shammai writes the order should be the reverse. The second bracha should come first, and only afterwards then the bracha of Lore Priya Gofen. Why does Beis Hillel assume differently that Lore Priya Gofen is in fact first? The Gemara tells us, for example, Tadir Rishenu Tadir, Tadir Kodem. The Birchas Hayayin is a more common one, and therefore it is first. Or, for example, that Yayin is Gorim LeKiddush SheTayamer. It is because we have the Koshel Bracha that allows us to recite the Kiddush, and therefore Borei Pri HaGofen, followed by the thrust of the Kiddush, where we describe the sanctity of the Kiddush HaSayom of Shabbos itself. Shakasari is bothered by the following. The second bracha, that we acknowledge the essence of Shabbos, that's min HaTorah. That's the mitzvah of Zachar Sima Shabbos Lakacho. The bracha of Borei Pri HaGofen, any need for Yayin is only Derabanan. So therefore, isn't Beis Shammai correct? That first you should recite the second bracha, followed by Borei Pri HaGofen. And how can Beis Hillel disagree, Tadir v'she'eino Tadir? Isn't it obvious that first fulfill the mitzvah min HaTorah, followed by the mitzvah Drabanan? And yet, the Gemara does not introduce that factor at all. The Gemara does not argue that the reason for Beis Shammai Shita is Daraisa followed by Drabanan, and the Gemara does not question the view of Beis Hillel. Why is this true? The Shagasari writes, because there is no Seder Kedima. Preference is not given to the element of the mitzvah which is min HaTorah over that which is only Derabanan. That is the view of the Shagas Aryeh, and therefore he writes, even if you assume that the first parsha of Kriya Shema is min HaTorah, the second is Derabanan, it's fair game for the Mishnah task in Brachos Naf Yud Gimel, Lama Kodma. Why is it that the first parsha in fact is first? That question of the Shagas Aryeh, why doesn't the Gemara introduce Daraisa versus Drabanan? So if you look in the Pnei Yoshua and the Sugin Brachos Nun Aleph and the No Debi Yehuda the Tzlach, they both suggest the following. If you assume that all that is necessary for Kiddush is the mere mention of the fact that it's Shabbos, and you don't require Yayin, you don't require any drinking at all, so when then do you fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush? The Magen Avraham writes in Reish Ayin Aleph, the Pnei Yoshua, the No Debi Yehuda, that you will fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush when you daven Maariv. Even by davening, Ato Kiddushes Yom HaShvi'i L'Shmecha, with that alone, the Magen Avraham and the No Debi Yehuda assume you will fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush min HaTorah. When you will come home now, you're only obligated in Kiddush Derabanan. So when I am sitting down to make Kiddush, the bracha Borei Pri Hagafen is only Derabanan. Even the second bracha is only Derabanan as well, because Kiddush Min HaTorah I have already fulfilled. And that is why the Gemara questions, what is the proper order? And the Gemara does not answer, one is Min HaTorah, one is Derabanan, because I already fulfilled the mitzvah Kiddush by davening already in shul. When I come home, the mitzvah is only Derabanan. And with this, the Not Debuda writes what sounds to be a great Kiddush Lahalacha. Let's assume, for example, a person did not daven Mariv. Women are obligated in Kiddush. The Gemara writes in Brachos Nachav and Shuas Nachav, Zachar v'Shamar v'Dibur Echad Nemru. Women are obligated in the mitzvah of Kiddush as well. The Not Debuda writes that women, generally speaking, don't necessarily daven Mariv, which means when they are sitting down to make Kiddush, they're obligated in Kiddush Min HaTorah. But no Debuda writes, we don't assume this way, La Halacha necessarily. It sounds somewhat striking that if a woman, for example, is making Kiddush, and she did not daven Mariv, isn't it obvious that the second bracha is first, followed by the bracha of Borei Pri Hagafen? That's what the Tzlat writes in Brachos, and Daf Nun Aleph. Hadaraisa always takes precedence over that which is Derabanan. And the only reason that we are able to recite Borei Pri Hagafen first, because it is more common, is because indeed we fulfill the mitzvah when we davened Mariv. But this is relevant to our issue in terms of the parshios of the Kriyashma. What is Min HaTorah? What is Derabanan? And the various possibilities. According to the Ramban, the first pasuk. According to Rashi, first parsha. According to the Viotosis, two parshios. Is there a fourth possibility? And that seems to be the view of the Rambam. The Pri Chadash writes, there are only three possibilities. After all, the first pasuk, first parsha, two parshios, because the last parsha is a mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that certainly is not part of Kriyashma, and therefore the most you could argue is two parshios or Kriyashma. The third certainly is a separate mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. The difficulty is the following. When you look in the Rambam seems to indicate that all three parshios are necessary for the mitzvah of Kriyashma. The Rambam tells us in the very beginning of Hilchos Kriyashma, who Kriyas Gimel Parshios Ha'elu Al HaSeder Zuhi Nikreis Kriyashma. The Rambam writes, there's a mitzvah in the Torah reciting Kriyashma, and what is the definition of Shema? The Rambam writes, all three parshios. Apparently, would it seem, according to the Rambam, that what we usually think of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the last parsha of the Kriyashma, that is indeed part of the mitzvah of Shema. The Rambam places this halacha in the very beginning of Hilchos Kriyashma, when the Rambam defines the scope of the mitzvah of Shema. And then you understand very well, why is it that the Rambam seemingly omitted the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim? It was not counted in Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam in Mitzvah Yud counts the mitzvah of Kriyashma. And the Rambam defines Kriyashma as all three parshios of the Shema. And therefore, the unique view of the Rambam that Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not an independent mitzvah, but rather it is part of Kabbalah's O Malchus Shamayim, part of Kriyashma. And therefore the Rambam writes, I will not count Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim independently. Kriyashma, or three parshios, that is in fact Min HaTorah. Where else do you see that this is true? That the concept of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyashma. We know that there should be a difference between Shema as opposed to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in the following sense. What is the timing of the mitzvah? When it comes, for example, to the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Torah tells us Yemei Chayacha, day, yom, versus Laila. When it comes, however, to Kriyashma, the Torah does not utilize the terms of Yom and Laila, but as you know, Uveshochvacha Uvkumecha, Zman Shchiva, Zman Kima, when a person is sleeping, when a person is rising, and therefore certainly the Zman Kriyashma is quite different than the Zman HaMitzvah, where the Torah uses the term Yom as opposed to Laila. And yet the Gemara Brachos in Afyud Gimel tells us the following story, that Rebbe used to give shir quite early in the morning, and the shir used to extend for several hours. And the Gemara says the following. If that's true, when is it that Rebbe recited Shema? The Gemara answers the following. You know, at some point in the Shir, Rebbe put his hands over his eyes. He was reciting the Pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Rebbe's view is that that is all that is necessary in HaTorah, as the Ramban assumed, Lalach. And the Gemara continues as follows. And what about Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim? When is it that Rebbe would acknowledge the fact that Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim? The Gemara answers as follows. That Rebbe, Mahader Ashmaitse de Isve Yitzias Mitzrayim. That Rebbe always used to weave the theme of Yitzias Mitzrayim into that shir. For what purpose? Lahazkir Yitzias Mitzrayim Bizmana. He wanted to make sure to fulfill the mitzvah at the appropriate time. And Rashi comments, what does Bizmana mean? How long did the shir go? All day? Until Shkia? No, Rashi writes, Bizman Kriyashma. It was necessary to acknowledge Yitzias Mitzrayim even during the window of time of Uv Kumecha. It would apparently appear that the Zman HaMitzvah of Kriyashma impacts on Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim as well. And therefore, in that sense, perhaps you understand, as the Rambam writes, it is not an independent mitzvah, but rather is part of our obligation of Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim itself. Rav Soloveitchik would often comment that the Gemara earlier in Brachos and Daf Yud Beis perhaps can be explained in this light as well. There is a difference between Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim as opposed to Kriyashma in the following sense. Kriyashma, there is a parsha that we read, the parsha of Shema. When it comes to Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim, there Chazal chose the particular parsha. What we read is the parsha of Tzitzis. And the Gemara debates in Brachos Naf Yud Beis, wasn't necessarily that parsha. One could have envisioned a different parsha for Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. For example, in Parshas Balak, we read the beautiful poetry found in the Torah, Kel Motziyam Mitzrayim. Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim. And therefore, the Gemara comments, Bikshu Likboa Parshas Balak. There was an attempt that that should be inserted into the conclusion of the Kriyashma, Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim. The Gemara says, no, they didn't do that because of Tircha de Tzibura. To recite the entire Parsha twice a day, that's somewhat cumbersome. It's a lengthy Parsha. And therefore, they were looking for a brief Parsha, like the Parsha of Tzitzis, that dealt with the theme of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And the Gemara asked the following simple kasha. Why do you have to read the whole Parsha? Why not just simply read the psukim that are relevant from Parshas Balak? And that's where the Gemara writes that no. Kol Parsha, Lo Paske Moshe Rabbeinu Anan Lo Paskinan. You can't read a half a Parsha. It's either all or nothing. You can't just read a few psukim. If you're going to choose that Parsha, you have to read the Parsha in its entirety. And therefore, the beauty of the Parsha of Tzitzis, it has many different themes, including its Yitzias Mitzrayim. It's relatively brief. And that's why that was chosen as the Parsha of Yitzias Mitzrayim. An obvious difficulty. Is that really true? Kol Parsha de lo Paske Moshe Rabbeinu Anan lo Paskinan. You can't read a half a Parsha? We're used to a very different principle that the Gemara writes in Megillah, Kol Pasuk de lo Paske Moshe Rabbeinu Anan lo Paskinan. You can't just read a half a Pasuk, not a half a Parsha. The Gemara there in Megillah and Daf Chaf Beis is bothered by the following. What is the laning for Rosh Chodesh? After all, the way Rosh Chodesh is divided is you have to have four aliyahs, and you have to have two aliyos, as we do, with five psukim. That's quite difficult. Now, each aliyah has to have a minimum of three. And therefore, the Gemara has two possibilities, either doleg or poseg. One that we do, of course, is we repeat. The first Aliyah of Kohen is 1, 2, 3. The Levi is 3, 4, 5. The other possibility is maybe split the Pasuk in half. Let the Kohen read 2.5 Pesukim, and let the Levi read 2.5 Pesukim. The Gemara says, a half a Pasuk called Pasuk, the Paske Moshe Rabbeinu, Anano Paskinan. You can't read a half a Pasuk. And therefore, our practice is we repeat a Pasuk itself. That's where the Gemara tells us that you can't read a half a Pasuk. But you can't read a half a Parsha. We always read a half a Parsha. Kriyas HaTorah on Mondays, on Thursdays, we don't read an entire Parsha. We always read several psukim. So why does the Gemara tell us when it comes to the mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzias Mitzrayim called Parshat Lo Paskei Moshe Rabbeinu. Or Slavichik assumed the following answer. That the principle is not necessarily Pasuk or Parsha. The principle is as follows. Whenever a person performs a mitzvah, the unit of the mitzvah must be complete. It must be kichsava. Whatever the unit of that mitzvah is, it has to be rendered in its complete form. But the critical question is the following. What is the unit of the mitzvah? I'll give you an example. Very often on a tinus, for example, we invoke the Yidgo Midos, Hashem, Hashem, Karachum, V'chanon. We stop in the middle of a pasuk. Isn't that a problem? Kol pasuk v'paskei Moshe Rabbeinu, anan lo paskinan? The answer is the following, that no, we're not reading as psukim. The unit is the Midos of Hashem. If a person will read Hashem, Hashem, Kelen, Zdab, that is a problem. As long as the unit is complete, one invokes all of the Yud Gimel Midos, that satisfies the need of the halacha. When it comes, for example, to Aseres HaDibros, we always lay in what we call Tam Elyon, the fancier truck that divides the Aseres HaDibros, not based on Sukim, but rather based on theme, on the Dibros themselves. That is not a violation of Kol Pasuk Lo Paskei Moshe Rabbeinu. We are not reading it as a Pasuk, we're reading it thematically based on Aseres HaDibros themselves. Perhaps that's the difference in these two sukkahs. When it comes to the case of Kriyas HaTorah, Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah of Kriyas HaPsukim. The Gemara tells us 3 psukim for each ola, a minimum of 9 psukim in total. The takan of Kriyas HaTorah was to read a fixed amount of psukim. The unit of the mitzvah is pasuk, and therefore you cannot read a half a pasuk. When it comes, however, to Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, Roslavetius suggested the following. There, Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of the mitzvah of Kriyashma. And Kriyashma is not an obligation of reading Psukim, but rather, as the Rambam writes, it's a mitzvah of Kriyas HaParsha, to read the Parsha of Kriyashma. And therefore, that is the unit of the mitzvah. And whatever Parsha we would utilize, the Gemara assumes must be a complete parsha, otherwise called parsha. Lo paskei Moshe Rabbeinu, anan lo paskinan. So this is the fascinating view of the Rambam. The Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is not an independent mitzvah, but it's part of Kriyashma, part of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. Why is that? Why is that so important? Why is Yetzias Mitzrayim necessary in order to affirm our emuna, our bitachon, our belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? The Ramban in the very end of Parshas Bo has a magnificent comment as to the uniqueness of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed such wondrous nisim at the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim? No doubt one could have envisioned that in a more natural manner, b'derech hateva, we could have been redeemed. Why was it necessary to be able to witness some miraculous events? And the Ramban answers as follows. Umin hanisim hagdolim hamafursamim adamoda benisim hanistarim. If one acknowledges the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu can perform a nes nigla, an obvious, an overt miracle, certainly then a Kadosh Baruch Hu can perform a nes nistar, what seems to be a hidden miracle as well. Umin hanisim hagdolim hamafursamim adamoda benisim hanistarim. And the Ramban continues, she'ein la'adam chelek b'toras Moshe Rabbeinu. A person doesn't have a share in the Torah Hashem. Ad shenamin chol dvareinu umigreinu kulam nisim heim ein ba'olam teva uminhagol shel olam ben rabim ben layochid. The Ramban writes, there is no such thing as a natural process. Everything is considered to be a nes. There nisim gluyim and there nisim nistarim. But everything is considered to be an ace. We consider something to be a natural process when the sun rises and the sun sets simply because that we take that for granted. But yet, that certainly is considered to be an ace as well. And the purpose of an ace nigla is to hone our vision, to take a step back, to be able to recognize that everything is a result of Hashgachas Hashem. A person can go through life and think that everything just simply occurs randomly, capriciously, naturally, and then all of a sudden, you see that there is a nes nigla. The purpose is not merely for that moment, but rather it channels our vision to appreciate that everything is a result of the Yad Hashem. And therefore, the Ramban writes that is why these nisim occurred during the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Not for the moment, but rather to train each one of us to recognize as we recite in our davening, Al Nisecha Shebechol Yom Imanu. Nes is a daily occurrence. A nes is a miracle, but a nes also is an indicator. It sheds light. It channels our vision to appreciate everything in life. The very term nes has a dual implication. Nes sometimes means a miracle, a wonder. The pasuk of Hashem Nisi. Rashi writes, Asa Kadosh Baruch Hu Nes, v'makom hazeh. Nes means a wonder, a pella. However, v'hoya l'nes also means in Chumash, not a miracle, but rather a flag, a banner, an indicator. That term nes min ha-Torah has a dual implication. It is a miracle and it is a flag. In what sense? Min hanisim hagdolim hamafursamim adamod hamanisim hanistarim. For the moment, it's a nes, and then it indicates to us that everything in life is a result of Hashkachas Hashem. That is the significance of the moment of Yetzias Mitzrayim. And therefore you understand very well that that is part of our Kabbalah Samalchus Shamayim. We have to acknowledge HaMechadesh B'tuvo B'chol Yom Tamid. Kadosh Baruch Hu constantly recreates the world each and every day, and the very purpose of Nisim Gluyim is to hone our vision in order to allow us to appreciate that fact. And therefore, it's not a separate mitzvah. It's part of Kriya Shema, part of the act of Kabbalah Salma Hushamayim itself. You know, when it comes to Hanukkah, for example, there are two great Nisim that we commemorate. The Nes of the military victory, the Melcham, and also the Nes of the Pach HaShemen. And a very simple question. Why was the Nes of the Pach HaShemen so necessary? The Nes of the military victory, we understand. If Knesset Yisrael was being threatened and persecuted, we understand the intervention of Hashkachas Hashem to see to it that Rabbim Ba'ad Ma'atim. Why was the Nes of the Pach HaShemen that which is so critical? You know, if you look, for example, at the Pnei Yeshua and the Sugyan Shabbos and the Pchav Aleph, Pnei Yeshua was bothered by the following. Let's assume there was no Nes of Pach HaShemen. Let's assume, for example, they couldn't find Shemen that was Tahor, and they had to use Shemen that was Tameh. You know that the Gemara writes in Yuma and Avav, Sanhedrin Yadbeis, that Tuma is either Hutra or Duchuya B'tzibur. There are ways of doing the Avoda, even B'tuma. And therefore, if there wouldn't have been a Nes of the Pach HaShemen, and that single Kag would have become exhausted in day one, they could have used Shemen Tameh on day two, day three, day four, until there was a new supply of Shemen. Why was that Nes so critical? And perhaps that's exactly the answer. When it comes to a Nes of Milchama, that no doubt is characterized as a Nes Nister. It's not so unusually in history that whenever there's a battle, one side necessarily must prevail, and at times, it is Rabbim Ba'ad Ma'atim. Sometimes the underdog, in fact, wins. And that so often can be described, not as an ace, but rather as a natural occurrence. Something which is the result of Kol Chivol Simyadi. That is something that I earned, that I deserved. Imagine the time of Hanukkah, that the Hashemim are victorious, and two individuals are debating. Was this the result of the Yad Hashem, or was this, no, a natural occurrence? And one individual argues that, no, that their military skills were so overwhelming that they were able to defeat the Yavanim. And as their debate rages, there's a Pach HaShemen that continues to burn and to burn and to burn for days above and beyond any natural process. There, that individual, who perhaps could have argued that the military victory was b'derech hateva, will be forced to acknowledge the nes of the Pach HaShemen, that's a nes nigla. And you think Kadosh Baruch Hu will only control the Pach HaShemen, and the military victory somehow is void or divorced from the Yad HaShem? Umin hanisim hagdolim hamafursamim. The nes of the Pach HaShemen was not necessary for Avoda. Avoda could have continued. Its purpose, as Yetzias Mitzrayim, was to hone our vision to appreciate that everything that occurred at that time, that was a result of the Hashkachas HaShem. The Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim teach us, in order to appreciate everything in life, just as the Nes of the Pach HaShemen is able to radiate and able to shed light on the Nes of the Melchama as well. And that, no doubt, at times is a difficult challenge. There's a beautiful mashal, for example, of the Kadmonim, who argued as follows, that, you know, there was a craftsman who was able to create beautiful, beautiful sculptures. And he created the sculpture of a horse. And he wanted to see how people would react to the magnificent creation of his work. And therefore, he placed the horse out in the public square to see how people would react. And people passed by throughout the course of the day, and no one bat an eye. No one stopped to notice, to appreciate the beauty of his creation. And when he came home and he told his family what had happened, that no one even paid any notice, you know what they explained? His creation was so magnificent that people mistook that for a horse. And people do not stop and take notice of a horse in a public square. So he asked, what then should I do? I should create a flawed horse. I should create something where it is obvious that it is not real in order to be able to appreciate the work of my hand. And one individual suggested the following, the mashal of the Kadmonim. Why don't you split the horse in two and put one half on one side of the road, one half on the other side of the road, and then everyone will stop and bear notice. You know, why is it that we commemorate Kriyas Yom Suf? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the Yom, isn't it obvious HaKadosh Baruch Hu could split the Yom? But no doubt. Sometimes our perspective is the following, that which we see each and every day, we really don't take notice. We should be able to recognize, to see Hashkochas Hashem, that Kiyayim Yam Chasim, when the water flows its normal course. And sometimes we fail to do that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to, as that craftsman, split the sea in order to go ahead and to grab us, in order to hone our vision, to be able to realize that even when the waters flow its natural course, that also is a result of Hashkachas Hashem. And perhaps that's the lesson of the Nes of the Pach HaShemen and its impact on understanding the Nes of the Melchama as well. And no doubt this is relevant when it comes to Purim. The essence of Purim is that all the Nisim that occurred were Nisim Nistarim. The Yad Hashem was not obvious at all. Just as the Shem Hashem was absent from the Megillah, so too one could witness all of these events without taking a step back and realizing this is a result of Hashkochas Hashem. The Gaon writes, the very beginning of his Pirush Megillas Esther, that's the uniqueness of Purim. Every other Yontif commemorates Nisim Gluyim. Whether it's Kivas Sukkos HaShavti, Avanani HaKavod, whether it's Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kabbalah HaTorah, and here we commemorate the days of Purim, marking occurrences that could be dismissed as being that which is routine, that which is a natural process. And that is the challenge of Purim, to be able to recognize the Hashkochas Hashem, even in that which occurs in a time of Hestepanim, when the Yad Hashem is somewhat eclipsed, and where one could easily explain these events in a more natural process. This year, as a leap year, there are two options. The Gemara tells us to celebrate Purim. And therefore, the Gemara writes in the beginning of Megillah as follows. When is it that Purim is celebrated? Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni? The Gemara quotes the view of Elazar Rabbi Yossi. Adar Rishon. That's when you should celebrate Purim. After all, don't we have a principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos? Whenever you have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah, why wait? And therefore, if Adar Rishon is an option, therefore we should read the Megillah at that time. Why wait a month to fulfill mitzvahs that one can be able to fulfill at this moment? And we don't assume that way. We assume as the view of the Gemara, Rav Shimon Gamliel, that tells us no. We wait, apparently violating that principle of Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos, in order to celebrate Adar Sheni as the time of Purim. And why exactly is that necessary? Rav Shimon Gamliel explains, Mismach Geula LeGeula Adif. It is best to narrow the gap, narrow that window of time between Purim and Pesach. You have to juxtapose those two, Chagim, the time of Purim, and that of the Yontif of Pesach itself. And the Gemara doesn't explain why. Why is that so necessary? Ein Ma'avirin Al HaMitzvos? I certainly understand. That applies whenever we have an opportunity to perform mitzvah. Why is it that somehow we ignore that principle and wait until other sheni mismach ku'ulu gula adif? I would suggest that that gemara can be understood as in Chanukah, pach hashemen, and the nes of the mochama. A person can experience the events of Purim without recognizing fully, without appreciating hashkachas Hashem. And therefore, what is it that will trigger, right, that vehicle, that tool, to be able to recognize hashkachas Hashem even in nisim hanistarim? And the answer is the Ramban. Umin hanisim hagdolim hamufursamim adamo debenisim hanistarim. And therefore, it's necessary to narrow that window of time between Pesach and Purim. If you will experience Purim, and somehow you will not go ahead and recognize the Yad Hashem, and that is our challenge, but if a person somehow can fall short, you will be able to celebrate Pesach. And Pesach undeniably is the result of the Yad Hashem. And you think Kadosh Baruch Hu only impacts on Pesach? Nisim Gluyim, and not Nisim Hanistarim? And therefore, if it's an option, you have to juxtapose Purim and Pesach. If there's any doubt, the aftermath of Purim, that this is a result of Hashkachas Hashem, in such a case, the celebration of Pesach, that will prove the case, as the nes of the Pach HaShemen sheds light on the nes of the Melchama as well. And therefore, we will forego Ein Mavirin Al HaMitzvos, and we will see to it that there is close proximity to Purim and Pesach itself. You know, the Shulchan Aruch writes the following, that when a person reads the Megillah B'Tzibur, you do so with a sense of Pirsume Nisa. You have to publicize the miracle of Purim itself. And one of the halachas, as you know, is Poreis Ki'igeres. Before you read the Megillah, you open it up in order that the story of Purim unfolds before you. Why exactly is that necessary? Why is it that that is considered to be part of Pirsume Nisa? And perhaps one could suggest the following. There's a marked difference between Nisim Gluyim and Nisim Nistarim. Nisim Gluyim do not require any context, any perspective. A person, right, is dropped into that era of time of Kriyas Yamsuf, and he witnesses splitting of the sea. Even without any knowledge of the before, the after, who, what, where, isn't it obvious that this is the result of Hashkachas Hashem? A Nes Nigla, in and of itself, is sufficient. When it comes to Nisim HaNistarim, that is not always the case. A person, for example, can read a Pasuk and not recognize the Yad Hashem. But you know what? When you read the Megillah from beginning to end, and you have a sense of context, you have a sense of perspective, and you take a step back, and you're able to assimilate and appreciate the story as a whole, then also, undeniably, the Yad Hashem emerges. And perhaps that's why the halacha requires that before you read the Megillah as part of Pirsume Nisa, you can't just simply read that which is in front of you. It's necessary to open the Megillah in order to teach that if ever a person has any doubt in terms of the Yad Hashem in a particular occurrence, the answer is the following. To take a step back, perspective, breadth of vision, in order to be able to realize the Hashkachas Hashem in every aspect of our life. How often, for example, did something occur to each one of us that we fail to appreciate at the moment? But yet, you take a step back, and sometimes years later, in a broader context, you see why everything had to fit into place. That, at times, is necessary as a tool for us to be able to witness Hashkachas Hashem in everything that occurs. This is the challenge, no doubt, of the time of Purim, to be able to recognize the Yad Hashem in an Eis Nistar. That lesson is somewhat more profound, the Gon writes, than Nisim Gluyim. Nisim Gluyim, the Yad Hashem is obvious. To be able to recognize Hashkachas Hashem in an Eish Nistar, that is an everlasting message. Shuasam Hayisa Lanetzach. That is something which is enduring. That is something that will equip a person for every challenge, for every aspect of life, to be able to realize the link of Purim and Pesach, Mismach, Geula, Legeula, Adiv, to be able to juxtapose these events. So Bezras Hashem, as we're about to experience this time of Purim, to realize its challenge and its significance, that the essence of belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not only Kriya Shema, but also Yetzias Mitzrayim. The challenge of Purim to recognize the Yad Hashem on the Sechel Shebelchol Yom Imanu, and the link to realize that just as HaKadosh Baruch Hu enables us to celebrate the Seder Pesach, the same is true when it comes to a Kriya Samagila as well. And if it's somewhat difficult, we remind ourselves of the Pach HaShemen. We remind us of a Kriya Yamsuf, and we realize the vision of the Navi, that the world will be full of Deyas Hashem, Kamayim Yam Lechasim, when the waters run its normal course. We don't require a Kriyas Yamsuf to recognize the Hashkachas Hashem. This is the uniqueness of the time of Purim. Shuasam Hayisul Netzach, to be able to recognize on the Secha Shebechol Yom Imanu, in the background of Purim, Pesach, the Nisim Nistarim, and the Nisim Gulim. Bezras Hashem, this Purim should mark that type of celebration, that we recognize Hashkachas Hashem in every facet of our life, and await Bias Mashiach Tzidkenu, where we'll be Zocha once again to see those types of Nisim Gluyim as we're present in the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim.